I draw your attention in the Epistle of Paul to the Colossians, the chapter 2 and the verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. It is especially the words, so walk ye in him, that I want to leave with you today. So walk. The Christians walk. All are walkers. Everybody walks. All men walk. Nobody has a choice about it. You know, of course, I'm not speaking about physical walking. That's not what Paul is speaking about either in our text. Not everybody can walk if we just speak literally and physically. Babies cannot walk. Some very elderly folk cannot walk. The seriously ill cannot walk, but are confined to bed. The infirm and the paralyzed cannot walk. But when I say all men walk, I take it in the sense Paul does here, metaphorically speaking. He is not talking about physical walking at all. He is talking about conduct under the imagery of walking. He is writing about how a man behaves, about how a man lives and progresses through life, morally speaking. You remember the paralyzed man in the gospel? He could not walk. You remember how he was sick of the palsy and he was born of four? He was carried. He couldn't walk. He was carried in his bed and he was led down through the roof into the presence of Christ. The Lord saw he could not walk physically, but he saw something else. He saw he had been walking in sin, because he said to him, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." The paralyzed man, though he could not walk physically, had a walk of sin. Everybody has a walk, a certain kind of conduct, a moral behaviour, a character by which they progress through life. You remember the Lord Jesus told us, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." There are two ways, the Lord taught, and all men are walking on either of these two ways. All are on a way. Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. That's one way. Narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. That's another way. Many are in the broad way, because the Lord says, "Broad is the way, many there be which go in thereat, and few are on the narrow way," because the Lord says, "Narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." And that is it. Two ways. There is no wayless place for non-walkers. No such place exists, because all men walk, either on the broad way or on the narrow way. As soon as a man comes into the world, his conduct commences, and it commences on the broad way that leads to destruction. The grace of God only can get him off it and into the narrow way. Only God can change the walk of a sinner. The Bible describes this walk on the broad way, the walk of the unregenerate. Before the advent of Christ, God suffered the nations to walk in darkness. "Who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways," the apostle says. The Gentiles crowded the broad way, but now in gospel days, now that the light has come in Jesus Christ and the glory of the Lord has risen upon us. This time of ignorance that Paul describes in Acts 17 verse 30 that God winked at, but now it's different. He now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And so all men walking the broad way are called to now come and walk in the light of the Lord, to come into the narrow way. Men are called to get off the broad path, to enter into the straight gate, to come to Christ, to receive him and begin a new walk. And that is what we have in our text. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. The Colossian believers have come off the broad road. The light of the gospel has risen upon them. They have heard the call of God to repent and turn and flee to Christ. And they have done that. And a new walk has commenced. And it is described here in our text. So walk ye in him. It's called a walking in Christ. A new walk. A Christian cannot, must not, should not, will not go back to the old walk. He cannot return to the broad way. It is unthinkable. And so this is a Christian's walk. He's received Christ. Now he is walking in him. Let us look then at the Christian's walk. The first thing is that the Christian's walk is utterly unlike his old walk. It's the opposite. This word, so walk ye in him, implies that. It implies that he is one who has done with the old walk, with the former walk. The child of God knows this. He must know this. And his baptism has shown him this. What did Paul say? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. In our union to Christ there is a complete change. Died with him, buried with him, raised with him, coming out of the tomb, there is a new arena, a new sphere, a new course, a new way. There is newness of life. And the walk now is in that element, in that arena. In this epistle, Paul uses the verb walk four times, usually in reference to the new walk. Here, in our text, also in chapter 1, verse 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Then again in chapter 4, verse 5, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. But once Paul does use it of the old walk, the past walk, you have it there in Colossians chapter 3. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Then he lists a whole pile of sins that they were involved in before they were converted. Fornication and uncleanness, even idolatry. And he reminded them that the wrath of God comes upon the children of disobedience for these things. And then he recalls to them, in the which you also walked sometime when ye lived in them. And so that was a past life. The old walk was a walk in death. It was a walk in darkness. It was a walk wherein their members were being used for sin. It was a walk of disobedience to God. It was a walk, and all the time that they were in that walk, they were under the wrath of God. That was their past walk, in the which he also walked sometime. Colossians 3, verse 7. This is the old walk. It was a walk in vanity. Remember how Paul said to the Ephesians, I say therefore and testify in the Lord, Ephesians 4, verse 17, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. That's the past walk. You can't walk like that. The Christian walk is not a walk after the world. Not a way the Gentiles go in. That's not the way a Christian's walk is. That is characterized by vanity of mind. It was a walk according to the course of this world. Paul said in Ephesians 2 verse 1, "You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world." The broad way is the course of this world. That is the way the unconverted are on. Whenever Israel was redeemed and brought out and brought in to possess the land of the Canaanites, God said, "Ye shall not walk in the manners of the nations, which I cast out before you. For they committed all these things, and therefore I abhorred them." They had this wicked walk. They had this vain walk, this walk after the vanities of their mind. You shall not walk like them. And so this holds true for Christians, for God's people today. They are not to walk in the manners of the world. They are to walk in Him, in Christ. That old walk was according to the devil, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. It was a walk in which the unconverted are under the control of Satan, under the influence of Satan, under his power, in his domain. The broad road is in his domain. It's a walk that belongs to the devil. It's a walk that belongs to darkness. It's a walk that belongs to death. It's a walk that the children of wrath are upon, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And so the Christian walk is the utter opposite of that. The time on the broad road was long for many. However long, it was too long for all of us. It was longer than it should have been. And all of us should have gotten off it far quicker. Remember how Peter said in first epistle of his chapter 4 verse 3, "For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. Wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you." That past walk was long enough. The time spent in it should suffice us. Christian doesn't want to go back to it. He looks upon that walk there as, at the very least, wasted time. And not only was he walking on it, he was running in it. They think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot. This broad road, sinners aren't even content to walk in it. They run in it. They're enthusiastic in it. They are zealous for their abominations, for their lusts, for their parties, for their wine, for the boozing sessions. They're filled with zeal and fervency in this walk. But the Christian thinks that past walk is over and done with. And the time spent on it was more than enough, was far too much. And so the Christian's walk is the opposite of that. The Christian can't go back to that. But the second thing about this walk, as it says in our text, is that it is in Him. That is, it is a walk in Christ. That is very important. It is not a Christless walk. Notice the contrast, or the comparison. "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Just like as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, whenever you were converted, so now walk ye in Christ Jesus the Lord. Your dependence upon the Lord Jesus doesn't stop. The Christian life is not receiving Christ and then going on without him. The receiving him leads to a union that has permanency. That's what's taught in this text. It's not just that you receive Christ. No, you're walking in him. You go on with him. As you received him, so walk in him. How did you receive him? You received him as one who needed him. And now you walk as one who needs him. Your dependence upon Christ doesn't stop. It continues throughout life. You see, the Colossians were in danger of losing the sense of the transcendentality and indispensable importance of the Lord Jesus. They were beginning to think the Lord Jesus plus other things or others, the Lord Jesus plus angels, the Lord Jesus plus spirits. Just like today, there are some professing Christians seem to think Christ plus the saints or Christ plus Mary. No, you received Christ Jesus the Lord to become Christians. And now as Christians, walk ye in the same person. Whenever you received him, you needed him. How did you receive him? As a needy sinner. You received him as he was the only saviour for you. You received him because you needed him for cleansing, for life, for the forgiveness of sins, for salvation. You needed him as Jesus. And in your walk you need him. In salvation you needed him in all his offices, as prophet, priest and king. You needed him as the anointed Saviour, as ye have therefore received Christ, Jesus. You needed him as Christ, as the anointed Saviour, as prophet, priest and king. And in receiving him, you especially received him as Lord, the Lord. As ye have received therefore Christ, the anointed prophet, priest and king, a Saviour in those offices for you, and as your Lord, you received him to be your Lord. You can see Paul puts emphasis on the kingly office. You received him as the Lord. This is a highlight. This is a height. This is the pinnacle. This is Lord in the highest sense. Lord as equal with Jehovah. Lord of all. You submitted to his lordship. And you must walk now in him. You're in covenant now with him. You've taken him as your Lord. And just as you needed him to be saved and to be justified, so you need him to be sanctified. You cannot walk in your own strength. You have to walk in him. You can only walk in him. Now this expression, walk in, is very common in Scripture, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. I think you will find it nearly 100 times. Paul frequently uses it to set forth the Christian life. For example, in Galatians 5, verse 16, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfil the lust of the flesh. Galatians 5, verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Here the person is the person of the Holy Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. But the command is the same as the command here in Colossians. This is not a different Christian experience. It is the same thing, though viewed from a different angle. To walk in the Spirit of Christ, is to walk in Christ. Christ is a divine person co-equal with the Father and with the Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit to walk, and you need the Lord Jesus Christ to walk. And if you have Christ, you have the Spirit. And if you don't have the Spirit, you don't have Christ. What did Paul say? Ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So the Christian is in the Spirit, and he must walk in the Spirit. And the Christian is in Christ, and he must walk in Christ. It is the same thing. But in Colossians, the focus is upon the person of the Son of God, because we must never be embarrassed about his humanity, that somehow he is less because he is man. There seemed to be something about this in Colossae, something going on in their minds or in teaching that was coming to them, that somehow his humanity made him limited, or he was less than God. There was this embarrassment with the material nature that Jesus possessed as man. In chapter 2, verse 9, later on down the chapter, he is saying to the Colossians, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In bodily form. He's man. He has a humanity. But he's God, all the fullness of the Godhead. You're complete in him. He's not limited. He's not a mere man. You're not to be embarrassed by his humanity. In his humiliation for our salvation, he took a human nature. And he lived as a pauper, and he lived as one who was weak. And he died upon the cross for our sins. He was crucified in weakness. But that doesn't mean he's limited. That doesn't mean you need something else and something more. No, all the fullness of Godhead is in him. And so walking in the Spirit, walking in Christ, are the same thing. Paul would have the Colossians to know the supreme deity of Christ Jesus the Lord. Whenever you are walking in Jesus of Nazareth, you are walking in Christ Jesus the Lord. Walking presupposes a way, an element to walk upon. The text says, walk in him. Now, for the ungodly, the element that they walk on is very wide, very broad way, a broad element. It's called the broad way because it takes in everything man wants. Takes in all his fallen heart's desire. He can walk in sin. This sin and that sin. He can walk in whatever religion he pleases, whatever religion he chooses. It's all in this way, this broad way. He can walk on the clean part of it. He can walk on the dirty part of it. He can walk on the religious part of it. He can walk on the intellectual part of it. It takes in everything. Walk whatever way you please. Everything counts on the broad way. But not so the Christian. He cannot. Paul here is saying Christ is the way for a Christian. In him. That's the only way a Christian can walk. In him. Not a broad way that leads to destruction. But in Christ. In him. This corresponds to the teaching of our Lord. Because he is the narrow way. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. We come to the Father in salvation, and we come through Christ. But we're also making our way to the Father through life. The end of the course, the end of the journey, and we come to the Father, and we're making that journey through life in Christ, through Christ in the way. He's the way. He's the way to the Father in prayer. He's the way to the Father at the end of life and death. Isaiah the prophet said of New Testament times, an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. This is Christ, the way, walking in him. The Christian, you see, is in a limited way. Not that Christ is limited and narrow. No, that's not what Paul is teaching. Christ is not limited and narrow. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead. He is unlimited. He is wide in his mercy and power and grace. But what is meant is, he is alone. He is a solitary way. He doesn't allow for anything else to be depended upon by the Christian but himself. Whereas in the broad way, you can depend on this and that and the other. Everything goes in, you can have it all kinds of packages. But in Christianity, there's only Christ, just the Lord Jesus. And our walking is in and through and by and with Christ Jesus, our Lord. That's all. Neither is there salvation in any other. The narrow way, just him. Neither is there sanctification in any other. Just him. Neither is there glorification in any other. Just him. You need him. Even as you could not be saved without him, so neither can you walk without him. And you don't have to walk without him, child of God. You have received him. You have trusted and depended upon him for salvation. And whenever you took him to begin the Christian life, you can carry on the Christian life with him. He has not left you. He will never leave you. Walk ye in him. He's near. He's there. He assists you. He carries you. But the third thing that I would say about this walk, the Christian walk is a visible thing. A man's walk is a visible thing. Conduct is seen. Behaviour is usually visible. Seen by someone. Often by many. And certainly by the person who is himself doing the walking. We know when a man is walking in the broad way. That's something very visible. It's easily discernible. You see it all about you. You see men living this lifestyle and that lifestyle. And what does a Christian say? Well, he doesn't look down at him or her, but he says, there but for the grace of God, go I. God's grace took me off that. And oh, that God's grace would take him or her off that too. That's how the Christian thinks. But it's seen. An unconverted man's walk is known, and the same can be said of a Christian. His walk is known, it is seen. And when it is seen, it should evidence that he is walking in Christ. And Paul wants the Colossian church in their vicinity. He wants all the unconverted round about. He wants people to see their lives as a walk in Christ, something different. That's the power of Christianity, you see. This walking in the light, this letting your light so shine that men may see your good deeds, that they'll see your walk and glorify your Father which is in heaven. This is the Christian's greatest tool of evangelism. Just simply walking in Him, in Christ. Should be evidence, it should be seen, and people should see your walk in the Lord. Doesn't the Psalter commence with this very thought of a man's walk, Psalm 1? The first verb in it is the verb to walk. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. That's where it's seen in the life. And blessed is that man who doesn't walk thus. Now, while the verb walk only occurs once in the psalm, the other verbs that are used also describe conduct as well. The metaphors are different, but it's all speaking about the same thing. It's all describing the walk. When it talks about standing or sitting, again, metaphors are being used to describe character. But these are visible things. A man walking is visible. A man standing is visible. A man sitting is visible. A man's conduct, a man's behaviour. Seen when a man stands in the way of sinners. It's seen when a man is sitting and having communion with the scorners. These are very visible things. And the other verbs are delighting, meditating. They all display conduct. They all evidence a man's walk. And this psalm begins with walking, man's conduct. It's all implied throughout. And you'll notice that it ends with a description of the two ways. Verse 6, the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. You see, there's only two ways. Here it is again. There's the way of the righteous. That's the narrow way. There's the way of the ungodly. That's the broad way. The broad way leads to destruction. The way of the righteous leads to blessedness and happiness and life. Psalm 1. This is where the Lord bases his parable of the ways upon. The two ways. The child of God cannot walk in the old path. He has to continue walking in the Lord, walking in Christ. What that means in practice is that a Christian is one who hears the word of Christ. A Christian is one who listens to the voice of Christ in Scripture. A man can't walk in Christ unless he's hearing Christ's word. Walk in the light of the word. It means also that he will be following the example of Christ. How do we know a man is walking in Christ or not? He's following Christ. He is going in the steps of his Lord and Master. Christian doesn't want to do anything that Christ wouldn't do. And he endeavours to do those things that Christ does. So walking in him is obeying him and following him, following his example, heeding his word. It also means that a Christian is one who is seeking Christ's grace and help and the supplies of the Spirit. Whenever he received Christ, he received him for the forgiveness of sins and for the grace of salvation. Whenever a Christian walks in Christ, he's depending upon him for the supplies of grace and sanctification. He's depending upon Christ to bring him to the end of the course. He doesn't veer from his dependence on the Lord Jesus. He's depending upon him for his bread, for the supplies of grace that will eventually bring him to glorification on his Saviour. It's a walk of faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. Walking in Christ is walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth, John says. In the truth of the word. In Christ himself, who is the truth. Are walking in the commandments. This is the commandment that ye have heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it, John says. Walking as he walked. Walking worthy of the Lord. Walking as the children of light. So that as the world looks on, they see these glorious torches in a dark world. Men who are illuminating the way and shining for Christ. And so, child of God, arise and shine. And walk in the light of the Lord. And walk in love. As Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice for a sweet-smelling savour. So walk ye in him. To him be praise and glory. Amen.